Welcome, everybody, to Productivity Book Group Author Interview Series. I'm Ray Sidney Smith. The Productivity Book Group Author Interview Series brings discussion participants, readers, and listeners of the podcast into contact with new and interesting productivity books and authors. I'll be interviewing authors that we have read or will be reading here on Productivity Book Group, as well as other authors I find worth sharing with you all, like today. These podcast interviews are injected between our normal discussion format episodes that are published here on Productivity Book Group. I have the pleasure of having on the show with me Scott Ginsberg, or as you might know him, name tag Scott. Author, speaker, strategist, filmmaker, publisher, songwriter, and world record holder of wearing name tags. Welcome to Productivity Book Group, Scott.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it, man.
No problem. It's a great. I'm a longtime consumer of your content online, so I'm pleased to talk with you one to one here today. I just recently rewatched your TEDx Gateway Arch talk, and you know, it's always entertaining to watch and to learn little bits about people behind the content that they're creating. And for listeners, I'll make sure to post all the links to all these items in the show notes. So you've written 31 books, am I correct?
That is correct.
Okay, that's just absolutely amazing to me. And so the three books I'm interested in talking about with you today are all about how you can produce 31 books at, I think you're just over 30-something years old. So I think that's really amazing. So the books are, and so for listeners listening, I've called this the Prolific Series, or I believe Scott has called it the Prolific Series, and so I'll just be calling it the Prolific Series when I'm talking about all three books, and then I'll give you the shorthand names for the books individually. So they are Prolific, The Art and Science of Creating, Collecting, and Communicating Your Ideas, When in Doubt, Create, Daily Strategies for Becoming Prolific, and When in Doubt, Commit, More Daily Strategies for Becoming Prolific. Okay, so when I'm mentioning these throughout our talk, I'll say Prolific, Create, and Commit in relation to each of those book, relatively speaking. So, Scott, tell listeners a little bit about yourself. If they don't already know you from hearing about you through, you know, your various public, you know, media appearances and so on and so forth, or haven't come across you on social media, what are you all about? And perhaps tell us a little something unique about yourself that people maybe don't know yet about you.
Sure. I'll give you the quick summary of my whole narrative. It started in 2000 when I was a student at Miami University. And I had a sort of quirky curiosity experiment idea one night to start wearing a name tag just for fun. And everybody was like instantly friendly to me and talking, and all these cute girls were like saying hi to me. So it was just this like magical little experiment that worked way better than I could have imagined. And I made sort of a decision to continue wearing a name tag indefinitely. Now, I had no idea that it would create my career, but it's just sort of started to go, you know, viral around campus, sort of word of mouth wise, and keep in mind it's pre-social media. So people just talked about it, and about a year into it, everyone sort of knew who I was. So I sort of took ownership of the fact that I was the name tag guy and began writing a book about it, and published the book my senior year of college. It was called Hello, My Name is Scott. And when that book launched, it went viral for real online and just kind of exploded. And I ended up on CNN and USA Today and all these like major publications. And it just sort of launched my career. And I just kind of raised my hand and went with it. And, you know, books led to more books, led to speaking engagements, led to interviews, led to consulting, led to strategic planning, led to all different kinds of art and various projects. So in the past 15 years, I've built a brand and a business and a career for myself, all centered around a little sticker.
Now, that's really fantastic. It's a great story on how to leverage a brand into a business, as I've heard you say. And
yeah.
So briefly for the audience who haven't yet read your book or books or haven't read your writing yet, why does one want to be prolific? You know, how does that contribute to people's productivity in today's society?
Great question. And I think there's a couple answers because, you know, it does differ for each person. I don't prescribe prolificacy as, you know, the be-all, end-all. But what I have found is that being prolific, number one, it's the great clarifier. I mean, I'm a writer and an artist, and I like to make things. That's like how I engage with the world. So for one, you know, being prolific allows me to be expressive and to figure out kind of who I am. I always tell people that I don't write books for people to read it. I write books for to explain my own life to myself. And so that's the big reason for me for number one is that clarification. The second reason is writing is the basis of all wealth, especially now in an economy where people are freelancing and entrepreneuring and creating their own brands online and building thought leadership platforms. If you haven't written something today, then there's tons of people that are getting ahead of you. So it is that sense of publishing. And I think initially it used to be the word write, but now it's just published. So I think the word published can be interpreted however you want. And I challenge people that are looking to go into business for themselves is to figure out what publish means for you. Because the word publish means to make public. So, you know, my wife is a chef, so maybe that means sharing recipes or doing a cooking demo. But however you define publish, that is the key to growing your brand. And I guess the third reason is if you can do it consistently and you can have a sense of continuity and sharing your ideas and most importantly, your values with the world through your creations, people will remember you and you'll be able to contribute to the world and elevate other people's lives and do the same for your own.
That's fantastic. And I completely agree. I mean, you know, it's really important for people to be able to sort of show their wares to the world. And I think in an intellectually, you know, sort of forward society where, you know, our intelligence and our intellect is what is, you know, providing us the resources to get a job or to find a new client or whatnot, it's important to put that material out there. You know, someone likened your book in an online review, this is prolific, to Stephen Pressfield's The War of Art, basically analogizing it as a book for creatives. And the reviewer said that while Pressfield's book is a higher level view of creating, yours is more, quote unquote, ground level. I was wondering if you agreed with that. You know, in essence, who is the prolific series written for? Can you describe your ideal reader or perhaps who it might help the most?
Yeah, I love Stephen Pressfield. He's one of my heroes, and I read his book, The War of Art, every single year. It's the only book I read every year. That's how important it is to me.
Interesting.
And I emailed him a couple years ago when I made my first movie because his book really helped me kind of push through the resistance and it was really exciting to hear back from him and, you know, just express my appreciation for his work. So, I'm thrilled that someone has reviewed the book in any way connected to the War of Art. That makes me feel great. I don't read reviews of my own work. I don't really care, but I'm excited to hear it. And, yeah, I mean, he gets into a very spiritual and mythological dimension of creativity, which is great. And not that I don't do that, but, yeah, I mean, I try to get to a very sort of boots on the ground, here's what we're doing every single day to become prolific. So that's the approach I took to that book or the series of books, I should say. You know, it's a trilogy. And I wrote this trilogy just basically to deconstruct and re-engineer my own process because long before I was the name tag guy and writing books, I was writing music. I've been writing music for 25 years now. And so before I learned how to write books, I knew how to write songs. And believe me, I wrote a lot of bad teenage, you know, love-struck, angsty songs for girls that didn't sleep with me. But that's how I learned the creative process and how it worked for me. So when I wrote this series of books, I thought about all the songs I'd written, all the speeches, all the books and the movies, everything I'd done, and just sort of went backwards and figured out what are my processes and what are my systems and tactics and strategies. And that's kind of how I came up with this. So once again, like this book was written completely selfishly. I only wrote it for me. I do stuff for me. Like I'm 100% selfish in everything I make, but I am 100% generous in everything that I share. And I think that's a key distinction. I want people to read it and I hope that other creative people can get a lot out of it. But man, I just wrote this to understand myself and have a better sense of clarity around my own process. That way I can repeat it.
Well said, well said. And so in that sort of vein, what's the main premise, selfishly or otherwise, of the books in the prolific trilogy?
I can break it down with a very simple visual, and that is a factory. The reason I say that is because in my experience, creativity is equal parts magical and mechanical. And sometimes it's more than others. I can't say it's an 80-20 split because it depends on kind of where you are in your life and what your system is. But because it's magical and because it's also mechanical, I think of a factory. And so the mountains or the fields or the crops when the tractor's out there or the miners are digging up the iron ore from the well or whatever, that's the first stage. That's the input. And the input stage is the first part of any creative process. That's the inspiration. That's getting the ideas, getting the raw materials for your work. The factory itself, once the truck has unloaded off the dock and the guys on the pallets are like organizing the boxes in, row M26, I think of a factory because my dad has run a business for 40 years and they have a massive factory and warehouse. So I picture this sort of very organized, very structured, very not clean because it's dusty, but very orderly warehouse. And that's the throughput. That's the second step, which is the organization part. And that's where a lot of people screw up. Artists are notoriously right-brained, and so order and structure does not come well to them. And it's something that I've really had to force myself to learn as a right-brainer, that if you have a bunch of great ideas, if you can't find them, then they don't exist. So that's the second step, is the warehousing component. And the third step is what most people are familiar with, which is actually making stuff and sitting down to write or to play music or to create a new recipe or to do a dance performance. And that's the exciting and sexy part. And it's a very right brain part, and publishing your ideas and, sort of sharing it with the world. That's what people love. But I think the mistake that people make is, number one, they don't have the organization system in the middle, the factory part and the warehouse. And number two, they don't appreciate and respect and recognize the value and the critical importance of always having raw materials flowing into your life, because it's a circular process. So input, throughput, output, that's the factory. And so the whole prolific series is just about exploring those three different areas and how to identify which of those three areas you're in and how to make the most of.
Yeah, the chapter 13 is one of my favorites. If you don't write it down, it never happened.
Right.
And it's right there in that throughput perspective, which is that you have to find and have a way to manage information. I don't know if you know the Getting Things Done methodology based on the book by David Allen. Well, I'm a huge evangelist, if you want to call it that. And so, that's just such an important part about being productive in general. I also really like part three, section two, where you talk about routine and, the primary and the portable creative environments. For those listening, those are really, really powerful parts of the book. As I travel frequently for work, this obviously really resonated with me, but having a primary creative environment was really, really powerful. So switching gears a little bit, you present your case for the prolific framework in the books, primarily in the first one, and which you call the quote unquote intellectual property development system. Can you unpack this a little for listeners and readers so they can get a sense of what you're offering them in prolific and then subsequently in create and commit? And I'll make sure to add, you wrote a pretty good blog article about this in 2014, and I'll link to this in the show notes. Can you sort of unpack this a little bit for us?
Well, originally it wasn't going to be a book. It was going to be a college curriculum at NYU. And a friend of mine hooked me up with one of the professors for continuing education, and I was pretty excited about submitting this proposal to like teach a college course. Like, it was really energizing to me and challenging. And That was two summers ago, and that was kind of a project for the beginning of that summer of trying to approach it in a very curriculum, sort of organized, structured, systematic way. And I'd never really done that before. It was a new writing architecture for me. So when I sat down to do it, I kind of treated it as a curriculum and thought, well, what if it could be software and mapped it out from a very sort of graphical way. And by doing that, it just made it easier to comprehend and to systemize it. So what you'll see in the books, all three of these books together, you'll essentially see how the system plays out, the input, the throughput, and the output, and what are the challenges in each stage of that process. And then the second two books in the process are essentially case studies. So the first book is the whole system and my principles on that. And the second two books are, here's examples from my own work, and I've made a couple documentaries, so I kind of use those as case studies of, oh man, I was was really struggling with this documentary because, you know, chapter 13 we had to cut out and I loved it. And I, you know, you deal with all those sort of guilty feelings of killing your darlings. And, you know, I related that to the publishing process. For example, you know, perfectionism is not something that I have, but I know people that are perfectionists and I know how that prevents them from executing their work in time or if ever. So I try to relate in the second couple books to case studies and examples of how this system, this sort of three-stage cycle plays out.
Right, right. So you present these 216 case studies of your own work, you know, by having readers watch video clips, you know, watching the video clip and then reading the relative chapter.
Yeah.
I'm curious, since it's not a university course, and it's funny because in my notes here I wrote create and commit or more course style book, you know, series. And so that's great to know the background on that. And
yeah.
So you know, if I were attempting to implement this sort of prolific framework concept that you have, what do you think is sort of the best way to approach it? Like spending, you know, a year going through this material, you know, piece by piece, or, you know, like what do you think is the best way to approach it? Because I think a lot of times what people do is they try to digest a book all at once and then they're like, ugh, it was too overwhelming, or I'm not capable of doing it. What's your approach?
I don't have one. And I've written so many books at this point, I've given up trying to tell people how they should consume my art. So I have no idea. I don't know how people should read my book. I don't know what's going to be helpful for them. I've developed enough empathy and compassion for different personality and learning and creating styles that, like, I have no idea. So I think people are going to do whatever they want. I think people, if I sat here and told you, here's how you should do my book, people still aren't going to do it. So people should take whatever their personality style is and filter my books through that, and I hope it works.
Fair enough. That's a good perspective. So just as we wrap up, I wanted to know, you know, you had mentioned, I had mentioned, and you had said that The War of Art was a book that you clearly read every year. I was wondering if there are any other books, you know, as a prolific author, you know, that means you're most likely a good reader as well.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what other book or books have influenced you and that you would recommend to the listening audience?
How much time do you have?
Hey, I've got more than enough time to at least hear a couple.
Yeah, I got a million of them. I just, books are so important to me. I love reading them. I love smelling them. I love holding them. Kindle is great, and it's really served me well, but boy, do I love physical books. So,
likewise.
I guess, like, instead of giving specific books, like, I think specific authors are a little more helpful because I tend to go really deep and find, and when I find an author I like, I'll read everything. And I'm like that with, you know, like with music. Like, when I find out that there's a band that's amazing and they have like 8 records, and I'm like, oh crap. So I go back and I have to listen to all of them. That's just like, that's how my brain works. So, like, the authors that have been the most influential to me, Julia Cameron, who did The Artist's Way and all the connected books to that. Eric Maisel, who's a psychologist that focuses on the arts and creative professionals and their psychological, mental, and emotional battles. Lately, I have been reading a lot of Melody Beattie, and it's, you know, psychology, self-help kind of stuff. She's great. The other one I would suggest is Edward de Bono, who is sort of the father, well, grandfather, I guess, at this point, and like sort of the original gangster of the field of creativity. And before creativity was like this cool, hip field that everybody was like trying to write books on, like, he's written all of them. The best books on creativity are written by him. Most of them are written like in the 60s to the 80s. And they're all great, and I collect them, and I got a bunch of rare de Bono books that you can't find in print anymore from the UK that, like, are just awesome, and I, like, cherish them. So, yeah, if you can get your hands on some de Bono stuff, like, it just sparks your brain. It's amazing.
That's fantastic. I'm a huge de Bono fan as well. You know, obviously, the first place I found him was, of course, through his publication of Six Thinking Hats, but he had a whole lot of work surrounding that, so it's really, really cool.
Yeah,
And
he's great.
for those listening, he's the father of lateral thinking. And
Yeah.
I'll put links to all of this in the show notes as well. So that's really great. I'll put links to all the authors if I can find links to their websites or to Amazon, that kind of thing. So that's really fantastic. I appreciate you sharing all of that. So in closing, how can people learn more about you and keep up to date with your happenings and your prolific, if I might say, content production?
Well, once again, I'm not going to tell people how to consume me. So the easiest thing to do is to go to Google and type in the word name tag and have at it.
Fair enough, fair enough. I know that I frequently follow you on Medium, or I do follow you on Medium and read frequently your material on Medium, and you're at Nametag Scott there, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. So with
Man,
that.
isn't Medium a great platform?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. I really love the commenting style built into Medium.
Yeah.
I wish that more platforms would take on that sort of line by line commenting or inline commenting as it's called platform.
It's so cool and clean and interactive and I like the company itself because it's Ev Williams and it's run by Holacracy, which is really fascinating from an organizational standpoint. So I'm a huge early champion of Medium and I hope they do really cool things.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the Holacracy sort of debate as to whether, hierarchical systems or a flat system will actually be the winner, so to speak. I think different organizations require different flavors of management, and I think that might be a really great concept. So it's still to be determined how it will play out.
Yeah.
And we've had a
Yeah.
lot of good stuff about that in the news. So appreciate that. Thank you so much for being here on Productivity Book Group Author Interview Series, Scott. This has been fantastic.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Ray.
That was Scott Ginsberg, author of the prolific series and many other books for Productivity Book Group Author Interview Series. Just a couple of quick announcements. Our next Productivity Book Group reading discussion will be on the 4-Hour Workweek, Escape 9 to 5, Live Anywhere, and Join the New Rich, Expanded and Updated Version by Tim Ferriss. That live discussion call will take place on February 27th, 2016. And you can find the full details about that at productivitybookgroup.org under Upcoming Books. After that, we are then reading and discussing Better Than Before: Mastering the Habits of Our Everyday Lives by Gretchen Rubin on March 26, 2016. All calls happen at noon Eastern Time. If you haven't heard prior episodes, we have the Financial Productivity Challenge ongoing currently, and that is running. So if you're interested in getting financially fit this year, go ahead and head over to productivitybookgroup.org and click on Financial Productivity Challenge. That link will take you to the full details to sign up for the weekly newsletter and the Google Plus community. Finally, all podcast episodes are archived at productivitybookgroup.org under episodes. So if you missed a call or an interview and want to review it, feel free to head over there. You can also subscribe in all of the various podcast directories. Thanks for listening to this episode of Productivity Book Group Author Interview Series. I'm Ray Sidney Smith. Here's to your productive life. Take care.